Music from The Who coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, just about 10 seconds shy. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show on what's going to be an absolutely gorgeous and perfect Friday. And it's already perfect because our guests have arrived ahead of time, and nothing better than that. As we do each and every Friday, we welcome in for Chamber Chat. We welcome the president and CEO of the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Slattery, with us. A very good morning to you, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just so glad to be here. It's not quite as chilly as the past few times, so yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's been a good morning so far. Yeah. So it's going to be a nice warm weekend. We're going to roll through the weekend with spring-like conditions. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. Also excited about the guest you brought in this morning.
Yes.
I've been waiting for this conversation for a while now because I need these reading glasses to live, to survive. If I forget them, I'm done. From Eye to Eye Optometry, we have Dr. Michael Cook. Welcome, Dr. Cook. How are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. It's great to have you with us. And I noticed that you're an eyeglass wearer as well.
You know, I had cataract surgery last year, and so I can see without glasses. I'm legal for driving without glasses. I can read, but I have a lot of nice glasses, so
right.
I have a very
them.
Small prescription, and I wear them just right. to promote the industry.
Right, those are quite fashionable, and as soon as I saw him walking up to the studio, I was envious of the glasses. I thought, man, those are cool. I would love a pair like that. So we've got a lot of questions for you, ton of stuff to so hang out. I do have a question for Aaron, and first of all, a congratulations. On the board installment this past week.
Yes, thank you to Skyloft for hosting us. We're so pleased to be there, and it was a great turnout.
Yes, it really was.
It was.
It was, and you did a fantastic job. Paula and Joelle, as always, did a fantastic job.
And, of course, Alex Chernagy, thank him so much for being the presenter because Sue Kempf was out sick that night.
Yes.
So I hope she's feeling better.
Yes, we all hope she's feeling better. She missed yesterday's chat that we normally have with our mayor. I'll look forward to maybe speaking with her next Thursday. A lot of important questions to ask her next Thursday. A lot of important answers I'm hoping to receive from her next Thursday regarding the dismissal of Mark Weiner. Mm. So we'll talk about that. That's a subject for maybe next Thursday. Who knows? Dr. Cook, when someone comes into your office, what is the... What's the thing you look for in an examination? What is the thing that you are most likely seeing when you give an examination?
Okay, there's really two essential parts of the examination. Okay, there are the vision tests.
Right.
That's to make sure that you can see properly, that your eyes are focusing together. So there's two elements, coordination of the eyes and focus. So the vision part of the exam emphasizes that. But as important, if not more important, is the health exam.
Okay.
The health exam not only examines the eyes for ocular health, eye health, but also for systemic health. A little tidbit, the number one way that undiagnosed diabetes is first discovered is through eye exams.
Okay.
But there are other diseases too.
Okay, so for instance, diabetic retinopathy. Is there a specific examination to determine that?
Okay, so when we do an exam, we do a health history. And so if the patient has been diagnosed with prediabetes or diabetes, that includes dilating the eyes. It makes the pupils really big, and using a microscope, we can see the blood vessels inside the eye. And nerves inside the eye. The eyeball is the only place where you can see nerves, arteries, and veins without doing surgery.
Okay.
And here's a little trivia.
Mm.
The blood vessel wall in the eyeball is actually transparent. So it's like a clear garden hose. So you're seeing the column of blood.
Okay.
And with diabetes and prediabetes, you can see changes in that architecture. Everyone's heard of aneurysms, but microaneurysms are like a weakening of the blood vessel wall. And so we'll see beating, or if it's more progressed, we'll actually see hemorrhages inside the eye.
Since it's transparent, that transparency is no longer perfectly clear. There are bubbles on it.
That can happen with extreme cholesterol.
Okay.
So it coats the inside of the wall. So instead of seeing a red column of blood, it's not going to be richly red. It's going to kind of be orangish, yellowish, but that's very extreme. In the beginning, we might see little plaques where the arteries and veins bifurcate, where they branch out.
Do you look for different things dependent upon the age of the person sitting in your chair? Or does everyone have basically the same possibilities of these diseases, of these eye diseases?
Okay. We do want to do a very thorough exam on everyone, but of course it's going to differ by age groups.
Okay.
Children, if they're healthy and not on any medications, it's highly unlikely that they're going to have any health problems.
Okay.
So by age group, it's the aging population that really need a thorough exam. The incidence of cataracts, glaucoma, and macular degeneration increase with age. And early diagnosis and treatment can prevent devastating vision loss. Mm-hmm. With diabetes, with macular degeneration. I think everyone's been hearing these commercials by Henry Winkler on radio and television.
Got GD and
geographic atrophy, which
OGA,
is an extreme form of macular degeneration. And macular degeneration, in its early stages, there are effective treatments, but late stage, we still don't have any treatments. So getting a full dilated exam can reveal these things long before the patient even has symptoms.
Okay.
And it's interesting that back to children and adults, people who don't get exams, they think that the DMV vision screening or the school screening or the pediatrician screening is an eye exam.
Right.
It's not. It's really a quantification of whether you can see legally to drive, whether you can see 20/20.
Right.
But it's not an eye exam. It doesn't go into the details of the health analysis, and it really doesn't do all of the vision tests that are necessary. Can I speak about children?
Please do. My next question was about children. Please do.
Okay, so with children, it is very important. The American Pediatric Association, the American Ophthalmology Association, the Optometry Association all recommend a full examination by 3 years old.
Wow.
And the reason for that, again, it's not because they're going to have health issues so much, but we do test for that. But we want to make sure they are not susceptible to developing a lazy eye. And lazy eye is where the eye, the brain is not using the image from one or both of the eyes. And that has to be treated before 8 years old. And if it is treated by 8 years old, we can get the child to see 20/20.
Wow.
Whereas without that treatment, after 8 years old, we're probably not going to get them to see 20/20. So the vision exam is going to identify that problem, which is probably the biggest problem in children. But one of the other things I do, and Aaron's had an exam with me,
one of the things, very thorough.
Of the things I pride myself with is that the patients often say to me, I love coming here because I learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this fascinating book about reading, Proust and the Squid, and I promote this to all of my parents with young children, or even if the mother is pregnant. Children who are read to on a daily basis, by the time they start school, they have heard over 3.5 million words. So their phonemic recognition is at a very high level. They're prepared to start to learn to read. Children where the family's not engaged for whatever reason, socioeconomic, dysfunctional families, these kids might only hear 300,000 or 400,000 words by the time they start school. They are behind, and they will never catch up.
That's fascinating. That is absolutely fascinating.
So I preach this to all of my, and even a pregnant woman, I'll say, now you are talking out loud to your child, right?
Right.
Your husband's talking out loud right. to the child, because the sound waves go in. And it goes beyond that. You know, even when the child, if you're taking them to the store and they're in the cart, you know, see the yellow carrots,
right.
see the orange oranges, the red apple, speak out loud and then also read to them.
And the kids can make that cognitive connection eventually when they see the words on a page.
That's right. That's where phonics comes in.
Okay.
So the phonemic recognition is the sound. What happens in school is the phonetic development of linking sounds to symbols.
Fantastic. I, Aaron, I can't thank you enough for bringing this guy in.
Yeah.
I'm digging this so far. We got a long way to go here. Have you, and it's called age-related macular degeneration. Do you find it in children?
Very good question, Ed. So there are risk factors for any disease, whether it's ocular or systemic. So, like, let's talk about diabetes. The risk factors for diabetes are family history, obesity, sedentary lifestyle, mm-hmm. poor diet. So those are risk factors. And with macular degeneration, there are risk factors as well. Family history. Lifestyle-wise, the number one risk factor is smoking.
There we go.
But number two is exposure to ultraviolet light. So you're here at the beach.
Right.
You know, the surfers, they're never wearing any eye protection.
Right.
They're getting direct UV and they're getting reflected UV. So I have had avid surfers with damage that I know will lead to macular degeneration as an adult because of the damage done by the sun.
Is there a way to reverse that?
No.
Okay.
You cannot reverse it, but you can slow the progression. And here's the interesting thing about macular degeneration and glaucoma. And I'm going to relate it to another systemic thing, melanoma.
Okay.
Mm. Three significant sunburns as a child raises your risk factor for melanoma as an adult substantially. So even though this happened early in life, you are more at risk for melanoma as an adult. And the same thing with the smoking and the macular degeneration. If you smoked for 20 years and now you haven't smoked for 20 years, you still have the risk factors from all those years of smoking. So with prevention, I'm always preaching to my patients, you know, you need to exercise, you need to eat healthy, and those will reduce your risk factors. And if you're smoking, you need to stop. With aging, the number one thing that people fear is loss of vision. And, you know, it can be devastating. And people have to think about, you know, how's it going to be if I can't drive anymore?
Right.
And that's what macular degeneration affects, is your central vision.
So if someone, let's say they're 45 years old and they've lost their central vision, they have like maybe blurry or wavy areas in their central vision, is that always a sign of cataract, or could it be something else?
Well, that's why we have to do the exam to determine if the vision problem is the surface of the eye. People don't think about this, but your tear film is the first focusing element. And you can think about this in terms of your windshield.
Okay.
You know, if it's a dirty windshield, you're not seeing so clear. So the same thing with the eye. We have to look at the surface first. And then as we go beyond the surface, then yes, we look at the lens. And the lens of the eye is where cataracts occur. And patients say to me, I don't want to get cataracts. Well, here's an interesting other tidbit. The lens inside the eye is the only thing inside your body that grows in size your entire life from birth to death. So just like the trunk of a tree gets more rings, the lens inside the eye gets more layers. So it gets bigger and bigger. So think of the layers of an onion. And if you take a clear piece of plastic and put it over print, just start making folds. And then you will see, you fold it once, you fold it twice, By the time you folded it four times, even though those individual layers are clear, the cumulative effect of all those layers is you're not seeing so well.
Right.
So that's what's happening with cataracts. That's the normal aging cataract. There are other cataracts caused by trauma, disease like diabetes, certain medications like steroids, prednisolone. They can cause cataracts. So yeah, you have the surface of the eye, you have the lens, and then you have the retina. The retina is what takes the light stimulus and converts it to a neural signal and sends it back to the brain. Macular degeneration occurs in that retinal layer.
Okay.
So all three systems are involved.
I love how you can simplify this so that we can understand this. That's wonderfully explained. Thank you for that. I had a friend, and I still have this friend, a lifetime friend, who all through elementary school and into junior high school, he had a, no other way to put it, he had one blurry eye. And now as an adult, he has had that fixed. The eye is no longer blurry. I'm curious, and I've never asked him, I'm curious as to what may cause that and what is the what fixed it.
Okay.
Without having examined him, I know it'd be tough to do. I get that.
Most likely, I would guess that he had a congenital cataract. In other words, he was born with a cataract.
Okay.
And so, as I said, I had cataract surgery last year. So with cataract surgery, you remove that lens from the eye that's gotten cloudy, and it's replaced with a clear plastic lens that corrects your vision.
Right.
And so then you can see clearly.
When you had cataract surgery, what did you look for in your cataract surgeon? How many doctors did you talk to before you decided this is the right person to do my surgery?
Okay, Ed, I've been here since 1989, so I know all the surgeons in the area.
Right.
And it was very easy for me because there's two surgeons that I work with very closely.
Okay.
And so even when I talked to them, I said, hey, how about let's spread the wealth. You do one eye and you do the other eye. And they said, no. So I had the surgery with one surgeon and my wife had surgery with the other surgeon. So you want a surgeon who's up to date.
Right.
Because there are choices to be made with cataract surgery in terms of what type of lens you want put in your eye.
Right. Mm.
The standard lens that's covered by medical insurance will correct you for distance only. So then you're going to need reading glasses.
Okay.
But now there are multifocal lenses, so they kind of work like bifocals in the eye. And there are different types. And I chose a multifocal lens because I plan on working a long time. I wanted total freedom indoors. I wanted to be able to see the computer. I wanted to be able to use the microscope, the instruments. I wanted to be able to read the small print on medicine bottles.
Right.
I wanted to have all that.
Right.
Now, I sacrificed just a little bit of distance vision, which I have a light prescription for. Now, I am legal for driving with no glasses, but I like my glasses, so I have this small prescription that I wear.
Right.
And now, a pilot or a golfer would prefer to have pristine distance vision, and then they might choose to then use reading glasses. So when I have cataract patients and I start talking to them, by the way, since I had the surgery, it's now much easier for me to have the conversation. It's like,
right.
What are you worried about?
Right.
I had it done. This is the greatest thing ever. And the thing about cataract surgery is that after 6 to 9 months, that's your vision for the rest of your life. So you're not going to be changing glasses every year or two once you have cataract surgery.
Okay. So would I be incorrect in saying that the recovery time is those 6 to 9 months, or is the recovery time less than that?
Okay. I had my surgeries on consecutive Fridays, and I was back in the office on Monday working.
Okay.
But the retinal adaptation, that is your eye adapting to this new optics, and the brain adaptation, that takes 6 to 9 months. Now, most people, I would say within 3 months are there.
Okay.
But there are people who do choose to get the multifocal lenses, which the technology is very good, but it changes the way the eye sees. And some of those people, yeah, they might be complaining a lot the first 3 to 6 months, then it gets to 6 to 9 months and those neural adaptations kick in. And then I ask them, you know, how's this or how's that? And they go, yeah, it seems to have gone away.
Okay. I want to step into the diabetic retinopathy condition again, because early symptoms, there are no early symptoms, as you said. There is just family history of maybe having pre-diabetes or diabetes itself. Does your examination or does a complete examination, how early can it be treated? How soon do you catch it?
Okay. First of all, there are patients... What the patient says is called symptoms. What the doctor examines and reveals, those are called signs. Now, the earliest symptoms with diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes, are you are hungry a lot, so you eat a lot.
Right.
You pee a lot.
Right.
And you're thirsty a lot.
Right.
So the three polys. And so... You know, if I start to see things like vision fluctuation, I'm asking those questions about urinary frequency, da, da, da. And then when we look inside the eye, we can start to look for some of those early changes. Long before the patient's having vision problems, we'll see changes in the vascular architecture, that is the arteries and veins. We might even see small little hemorrhages inside the eye. And those can be effectively treated. So when we see things, when the history reveals things and the examination reveals things, then, you know, we recommend blood tests, an examination with their PCP, and if they right. don't have one, get one,
right.
and get the blood tests done and start therapy. I had a patient with diabetes. This is a sad story. She came into me when she was in her early 70s, and there were alarm bells from the beginning. She couldn't pass the DMV vision screening.
Okay.
She hadn't had a medical exam since her daughter was born 40 years previously.
Whoa.
And she had never had an eye exam at all.
Right.
And so I couldn't get her to see. She couldn't even see the big E.
Right.
And so then I said, look, I need to dilate your eyes and look inside. And she had significant hemorrhages everywhere.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes you can't sugarcoat things,
right.
you know.
Right.
And I had to tell her, you know, you've had uncontrolled diabetes for at least 15, 20 years. You're never going to drive again, but we need to send you to a retinal surgeon. You're going to need some treatments to prevent further vision loss. And she goes, what good is it going to do? I'm blind. And I said, no, you're not. So I turned the lights off in the room and I said, this is blind. I turned the lights back on and I said, you have peripheral vision. You can still walk around. You don't want to lose that. And so I sent her to a retinal surgeon that I know, and then he started injections into the eyeball that day to prevent further bleeding and further vision loss. But that's an extreme case.
Right. Well, without having a, and you bring up a point that I was going to ask you, the without having seen a doctor for 40 years and certainly never having an eye exam, are our eyes the most neglected of all of the physical tests that we could possibly take?
Very good question. There's an entity called the Vision Council, and they are advocates for the ophthalmic industry, for patients, and for doctors. And they had a brilliant poster 4 or 5 years ago. And on that poster, it's a picture of an infant girl. And the caption is, in her lifetime, this person will have 270-some dental appointments, but only 8 eye exams. And so I'm giving my kudos out to the dental industry, because since the 60s, dentists and Crest toothpaste their television commercials started this whole thing of yearly dental checkups and cleanings twice a year.
Right.
No one even questions that they're going to get their dental checkup yearly and cleanings twice a year. But they are so, sounds harsh, negligent when it comes to eyes. But I blame the eye industry on this because we haven't been strong enough advocates. Right. And we lost a significant opportunity in 2020. Because years before 2020, I was saying to the California Optometric Association, the National Association, why aren't we making 2020 the year of vision? You know, we really missed an opportunity that's never going to come back.
Right. It's in the marketing. It right. really is. It's in the marketing of more eye exams. It's in how it's really taking the model that the dentists did that the and moving that into the vision. I agree with you. I probably have had less than 10 eye exams in my life.
Yeah. So the two take-home points I really want to emphasize is, you know, for children, you want your children to be successful. And there's no doubt that parents invest a lot in whether it's music or sports and having the best equipment. But, you know, you want them to develop reading, and reading skills are the most important thing. I raised my children this way, and I say this to parents and children all the time. If you learn to read well, you can teach yourself anything.
Right.
And then for the aging population, it's all about the health. Because early detection can prevent serious vision loss.
Tell us about your office in particular here in town.
I've been here since 1989. And I've been, through luck, been able to expand the facilities here a lot. One thing that happened was I had an office in Irvine and the lease wasn't renewed and I decided to consolidate. So I was able to invest a lot more in the optical side of things. But the building, there was a dentist who retired, and so I was able to get his space. And so through the expansion, I've been able to invest in equipment. So I have state-of-the-art health equipment for the early diagnosis of glaucoma and macular degeneration. And I've got a staff that's wonderful. Tabitha in April will be with me 20 years. Nancy's been
shout
with
out
me
to
for,
Tabitha.
And Nancy's been with me for 8 years, so we have a really good team.
Okay, before I let you go, I you did mention glaucoma. We hadn't covered that yet. Let's talk glaucoma a little bit.
Okay. Glaucoma is another one of those silent diseases. You're not going to know you have a problem until it's advanced to the point that you've had vision loss. And the standard test, the thing that people think is the glaucoma test, is the pressure test. Well, that's kind of like the old school baseline test. But we have another instrument, two other instruments. One is, with the microscope, I can see the optic nerve inside the eye, and glaucoma nerves look different than normal nerves. And then we have this technology, OCT, ocular coherence tomography, which does a neurological scan of the inside of the eye, and it details the optic nerve and the retinal nerve fiber layer, and it will detect risk for glaucoma. Again, like I said, risk factors, family history, elevated pressure, and neurological damage.
So if you have a spot open on Monday, I think I know where I'm going to be on Monday afternoon. I
would love to see
I'd
you.
I'd love yes. to call your office right now. Dr. Michael Cook, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And I before we had this conversation, before we went on air, I had the most fascinating conversation with him about other things that I'd love to have you back on. And let's talk about your travels and your teaching in other countries. Can we do that?
I would love to do that.
I would love to have you back. Aaron, what's going on here in the coming weeks with the chamber?
Yes, well, I'm just pleased that, you know, after my eye exam, I feel much more confident about that I don't have diabetes and I don't have glaucoma and I don't have those things. But with my age, it looks like I might need some glasses in the next few years,
okay,
just for the aging process.
Right.
But I'm so pleased to have had such a thorough eye exam to have that confidence and knowledge.
Is there, and as she mentions that, is there a guarantee that could you spend, like, for instance, could I go a full 85, 90 years and only need reading glasses? Or will eventually I just need glasses to exist?
Ed, that's a very good question. Yes. And I often... Our patients respect me for this, because I'll tell them, yeah, you can get prescription, you can invest in that if you want them to look. But I said, you know, for you, you can use over-the-counter glasses.
Right.
And, Costco, you know, they sell them in three packs, and
right,
the optical quality at Costco is actually decent.
Okay.
But you need the eye exam, because you can wear those, but if you get to the point that you cannot see, there may be damage that's irreversible.
All right. Note to Tabitha, I'm in,
yes,
on Monday, please, if you have room, put me in. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Eric.
No, that's okay. So coming up, the Chamber is so excited to be welcoming the Jedediah Coffee Cafe next Friday, February 2nd. Can you believe next week is already February?
I cannot believe it. It's rolling by. It's rolling by so fast.
So Jedediah Coffee is on Friday, February 2nd. It's going to be at 4 o'clock, and the address of the cafe is 397 North Coast Highway. And we're going to be drinking some delicious coffee and having some fabulous pastries.
And a shout out to Steve and Embry, who have done a magnificent,
yes,
job putting that place together, and they've
We're
worked
so
really hard
to have that. Because it's February, we are going to be having a Valentine window decorating contest.
Yes.
So visit thinklagunafirst.com and sign up if you have a storefront that you want to decorate with fabulous Valentine decorations. Now remember, we don't have to go traditional with pink and red.
Right.
We can have the Laguna style Valentine, whatever that means to you. Judging will be February 9th to 18th.
Okay. I still have some human hearts, fake human hearts from Halloween. Can I just hang
goodness.
Those? Can I just hang those in my window like salamis?
If that's your style,
okay.
You know.
We'll try that.
Our February meet and greet is going to be on the 21st from 5 to 7 at Starfish. And also in February, we have a fabulous morning workshop to help you protect your brand and trademark. This is going to be at the Laguna College of Art and Design on Tuesday morning, February 27th, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. It is an early morning, but we hope that some of our business owners will be able to do it before they go to work. So 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And that is going to help you understand why your logo is so important to you and how to protect it. So we're really excited to share all that wonderful information with our members and other people here in the community. Of course, our Laguna Beach Patriots Day Parade is coming up on March 2nd. That's a Saturday morning at 11 a.m. And we already are selling our State of the City Mayor's Luncheon tickets for April 2nd. This is presented by Empress Builders. Thank you, Empress Builders. This is going to be at the Montage. It's going to be a fabulous luncheon at the Montage. We hope to see you there on April 2nd.
And there's a question and answer period, and you can submit your question and have the folks from the city answer it. It's actually a really great luncheon, a great opportunity for the community.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we are actually expanding the reception time as well. So you can mix and mingle with people during the check-in and reception time before we sit down to lunch. And then
my favorite dog on earth, that's Thor passing by right now, by the way.
Hi,
Say
Thor.
Hi to Thor. Right. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Okay. And then we have on Tuesday, May 14th, we have a golf tournament. It's going to be at Strawberry Farms this year. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, we have our Pageant and the Masters tickets available for our final dress rehearsal on July 3rd.
Okay. Fantastic. We're looking forward to all of that. If you missed any of it, they can find it on the Chamber website.
Yes.
Or they can just buzz me here at the radio station and I will avoid the phone call. And no, I'm just kidding. Dr. Michael Cook, Eye to Eye Optometry, thank you so very much. And I'm serious. I'd love to have you back and let's just have conversations about everything happening in the world. I'd love to do that with you.
Good. I look forward to it.
All right. 8:33 the time. We are 27 minutes away from Lisa Farber, LagunaNow.com. It's the Mornings with Ed show on the all new Voice of Laguna.
Put your loving hand out, baby, 'cause I'm baby.
Mm-hmm.